So, shall we do this again?
It's always so stupid starting these things out. You're always like, I feel like we should be like upbeat and positive, like,
Hey!
hey!
This is the Geek Beer Podcast!
Woo!
I'm Ethan!
And I'm Tom Caster!
That was
What?
good. That was good.
I don't like that at all.
So, we've got the first of a series of two podcasts now.
That's right. It's a series.
A series.
Of podcasts.
It's our third successful podcast.
Ooh.
So our series of two two podcasts will feature three IPAs to begin with, and the three today are all Western United States IPAs. We're gonna start with the most widely distributed IPA in the world.
Really, Longhammer?
Yeah. Red Hook Longhammer.
Really,
most widely.
Did
distributed.
You research that?
I did.
Wow, you didn't just make that up. You didn't just assume that this was a fact.
No.
You actually like went to a website and you looked this up.
I did.
Because websites,
and
obviously.
And I also actually verified it with Bob the Beer God, so.
And Wikipedia. Did you verify it on Wikipedia?
So we got Longhammer to start, because it's, I figured, something everybody could identify with, since it's, you know, they can probably get it.
Yeah.
And then Snoqualmie's IPA. Snoqualmie's about an hour from where we are. And there's a brew pub up there that makes some pretty decent beers.
Okay.
And then we have Rogue's Yellow Snow IPA.
I'm already excited about the Yellow Snow. Well, okay, so let's do a couple things here before we start drinking.
But
I know.
I want to start drinking.
I understand.
It's like 7 p.m.
It's 6:35.
Fuck.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the IPA? I mean, what?
Oh,
yeah.
That's a good idea. I didn't prepare for this.
Way to prepare for the podcast.
Okay, how's this?
Yeah.
I am a hophead.
Yeah.
IPAs were the first beer that I really fell in love with. I mean, I enjoyed beer before IPAs, but IPAs were the first beer I really fell in love with.
What exemplifies an IPA?
I expect a good IPA to have a relatively light mouthfeel, a golden copper color, unless it's a dark IPA. It should have a light mouthfeel. It should have a heavy hop aroma. Should be relatively high alcohol volume, 5.5% and above, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
It should have a heavy hop flavor. That's the key, I think. And I prefer my IPAs floral and citrusy rather than strictly bitter. I know that not everybody's like that.
Well, you're just weird.
That's true.
I think that actually covers everything. I think I said a couple of housekeeping items. If I had something else, I've forgotten it already. That I want to talk about.
Was it something about last week?
There's something about you shutting the fuck up and drinking your beer.
Thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear. The Longhammer is indeed sort of a pale ale color. It's a light gold. And it has a reasonable hop aroma. I'd say it's fairly floral.
Oh, yeah.
And I've now had five of these recently.
Today
five
recently?
No. On five separate occasions. I wish I would have had five of them today. It was a long fucking day at work. 11 hours. Jesus. But I get a small, like, lime peel characteristic out of this. But it's not significant, but it's enough that I've noticed it every time I've drunk it.
I think I can sort of see where you're coming from on that. It's very light. It's very very easy on all the characteristics you would normally look for in an IPA.
Yeah, and I think that's probably explains why it's the most widely distributed, right? It's
yeah.
a pretty palatable IPA. I can see myself drinking three or four of these, which definitely isn't the case with the other two we're going to try today.
Probably not. Yeah. Like I never really think of an IPA as a beer that I want to have more than one of. Usually,
yeah,
at any
definitely.
Time.
I think after I have one IPA, I'm ready to switch to something else. So
yeah.
This should be an interesting podcast.
Oh God!
Our next
Wait,
podcast.
We have to drink two more of these.
Oh God!
Oh God!
And three more next podcast.
What the?
Anyway, there's not much to say about this beer. It's not like
yeah.
It's got a reasonable hop bitterness. It's got this weird lime flavor going on, but otherwise. It smells like sort of generic hops. There's nothing, like, they're not using a specific hop here that I can really point out.
Yeah, it just smells hoppy.
I don't know.
It smells hoppy. It smells probably about as strongly as I would expect most IPAs to smell. It's got
yeah.
a strong aroma to it.
Yep. Yeah, the bitterness really dies away quickly, doesn't it?
It really does. It's very unique, I would say, for an IPA. I don't think I've ever had an IPA that didn't decide that it wanted to hang out and party a little bit longer than I wanted it to.
I'm not sure this is a whole lot more bitter than Sierra Nevada's Pale.
I've noticed a little bit of that around other breweries that don't normally specialize maybe in IPAs or a little bit more...
Careful, Red Hook might be a sponsor one day.
I'm not saying bad things about it. I'm just saying that I've noticed, like, when it comes to larger craft breweries, that their IPAs tend to be a little bit more like they just took a standard beer recipe and then threw some extra hops in. Pyramid makes an IPA.
Oh, yeah.
That tastes...
Thunderhook. No, Thunderhammer. Lightning hammer. Fuck.
Thunderhook hammer lightning. Activate! But But yeah, they make one, and it, honest to God,
Thunderhead.
It tastes like they took their hef, and they added more
hops.
More hops to it. Yeah.
If I was looking for a session IPA, someone could run me through the night. I was like, I want to drink nothing but IPA tonight.
Ah, yes.
And I want to get dirty, nasty, messed up.
Yeah.
I would drink Longhammer.
I agree. You know why you drink Longhammer?
Why?
Because it's 6.5 ABV.
I would drink Longhammer.
I think you said earlier, you said before, last week sometime, you said you didn't like Longhammer.
I was thinking of Thunderhead Hook.
Oh, okay.
Lightning Storm.
Ho!
Well played, sir. Well played. You're on fire today.
That's not true. I'm never on fire. There is no on fire in this world.
Between your Thundercats ho thing right there and your comment on Reddit.
All right, so we got a Snoqualmie Wildcat IPA right now.
Whoa.
This is about as local.
You couldn't see the clawed was motion
that,
I made.
Was that Tigra?
Yeah.
Are we continuing the Thundercats riff here?
Fine, I'll go. So Snoqualmie.
It's a little darker. Actually, it's a lot cloudier than the Red Oak. Probably to be expected from a smaller brewery.
Yeah.
The head's much thicker. Also probably to be expected. Was it bottle conditioned?
No.
But it was worth checking. It might explain some of the cloudiness.
Does it have ABV on there?
6.6% alcohol by 6.6. volume.
And I also just looked it up. The Rogue is also going to be 6.5%. So.
Dang.
Yeah, we got three 6.5% brews right here. And this, the last two are in 22-ounce bottles, so...
All right, so we got our Snoqualmie now, right? Snoqualmie Wildcat India Pale Ale.
Yeah, so the Longhammer, just to give you an idea, Longhammer is 38.5 IBU.
Mm-hmm.
Snoqualmie is 75.
I get
Rogue
the feeling
is 70. I expect an IPA. I think I'm pretty sure the Beer Town guidelines are 40 to 70 IBU. So this is the high end of the traditional normal quotes.
He did the quotes thing with his fingers.
Yeah, the fingers.
The air quotes.
Of a normal American style IPA. And Longhammer was at the low end. So this should be significantly more bitter.
All right.
We should stop doing that.
It sounded more bitter. Oh, yeah.
It has a much more earthy, fresh hops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's a...
Do they list the hops? I would guess Cascade.
What? I'm sorry. I was having a moment.
Oh, Columbus. That's why it smells the way it does.
Ooh. I don't even want to drink this. I'm just going to smell it.
It smells pretty awesome.
I'm bracing myself. This is going to be mighty powerful compared to what we were just having. Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Yeah, that's good stuff. The smell is really... I would say it's an earthy hop smell. There's
really?
No citrus here at all to me.
I wouldn't go earthy necessarily. No, you're right. It's a little earthy.
It's definitely darker. I would say this is more of an orange color than a gold.
It's golden. It's an orangey gold. It's a little red tinge to it. I think that's from the blood of the innocents they use to make it so bitter.
But there is a lot of grapefruit in the aftertaste.
Okay.
You don't drink grapefruit juice? Really.
I do. And I see exactly what you're saying, but I want to make you sound like you're not that smart.
So
I'm going to disagree with you. And you're going to edit it out later.
I might. Maybe I like the self-abrasive thing we have going on. Maybe I'm going to try to preserve that in my edits.
Really?
Yeah.
I keep that going.
The taste is a bit...
Like I'm chewing on rosemary petals.
Do you
rosemary
do
needles.
Do that often?
I've just done it a few times.
You're a weird dude.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. This beer is destroying my palate, by the way. Yeah, this is a palate burner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still getting the grapefruity aftertaste, but any sense of floral notes that I had at the beginning?
Notes.
To notes!
To notes!
Replaced by a pretty strong hop bitterness.
Bitterness. That's a fun word to say. I'm a little drunk. Fuck it. Let's burn through this last one.
Burn?
Burn. We're just going to guzzle it.
Look at that. Holy shit. Rogue's got a head.
That was not a slamming beer, by the way. That Snoqualmie.
It's an IPA, dude. There are no slamming IPAs.
I kicked back the last of it, and it was a bad idea.
Whew. Well,
it's a heady beer.
Yeah, this is definitely the most head we've seen on an IPA tonight. The Longhammer was almost headless. The Snoqualmie had a good finger and a half of head, and now
this is like a fist's worth.
Yeah, this is a lot of head. It's not quite as bad as that hef we had last week. This isn't a light head either. It's lacing up the sides and stuff.
Yeah, and it's I'd say the color is actually very similar to the last one, the Snoqualmie, though.
Yeah, it's a little cloudy, just like the Snoqualmie.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty orangey.
I think if you put them side by side, not
be hard
could
to tell
now.
The difference.
Probably hard to tell the difference between the two in
we
terms of color.
We should try that. Get multiple glasses.
It looks really cloudy. It wouldn't surprise me if that's bottle conditioned.
Oh, it is definitely. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about right. So.
I'm gonna take a little sniff.
Sniffaroo here.
Sniffaroo.
Speaking of big heads, I just got a little bit of food right up my nose.
I would say this is less less earthy, less floral, and more... I would say there's more yeast in that smell.
Well, that's probably because you poured a lot of yeast into the last little bits of the...
There's still quite a bit in here. I mean, I don't think it was that much yeast.
It was pretty... I could tell. I
wonder how much of that isn't just a hop I'm unfamiliar with. The Amarillo hops? That's a fantastic choice for an IPA.
This seems almost positively mild compared to the last beer.
Yeah, like I said, the Amarillo hops are really... They're a different kind of bitter. The aftertaste is not at all the same. I would say it doesn't linger nearly as much.
This is like being outside in the morning, like, and it's like 50 degrees out, it's kind of cold, and then you like jump into like 30 degree water, and then when you get out of the water...
30 degrees Fahrenheit?
30 degrees Fahrenheit water. Well, 33, just above freezing. This Snoqualmie is like the 33 degree water, and this Rogue is like the 50 degree morning.
So right? You're saying we should have had the Rogue first.
I'm saying now that we've got out of the 33 degree water,
yeah,
it's still really fucking cold outside. But you don't feel it. It feels warm out.
And in this analogy, cold, is that the IBUs?
Yes. In this analogy, the Snoqualmie is the water, and the Rogue is the 50-degree morning. And I don't feel cold anymore.
So you like this beer better? You think this is a warmer beer?
No, I'm saying that I think...
Because I think the previous beer
destroyed my ability to properly feel temperature.
Anything.
Yes.
Because it's 6.6%.
No, I'm talking about the bitterness. This is the worst analogy ever.
Thank you for saying that for me. I didn't. I'm glad you said that.
Somebody out there is going to understand.
We're not going to clean glasses again.
No. Somebody out there is going to understand me and be like, I totally got you, man.
There's definitely... Okay, so this is what I think about this beer. Mm-hmm. If I were making these at home, for the Rogue, I might not even choose a yeast suited for IPA. I think I might choose like a Hefeweizen yeast. Because there's a stronger like yeast. I would call it a fruity character to this beer. While the Snoqualmie, the yeast is almost non-existent, and almost the entire flavor of the beer is hops.
I think this beer... Hold on. Let me taste it again. So it's like you go out on a 50-degree morning.
And you jump in your...
You jump in your 33-degree swimming pool. That's what this beer is like. You know, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
We could finish this beer and then get on to beer news...
Or we could get on to beer news now.
Get on to beer news now.
This is a good idea.
We're already at like 45 minutes.
All right. Beer news. Come on, Mouse. Where are you?
Because I've got nothing else to say about this beer.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I just don't have anything else
to say. Well, IPAs are pretty straightforward beers for the most part. I mean,
yeah.
It's not like they're deep and complex like your typical Belgian or porter or stout or whatever.
Exactly.
Or even American pale. It's like IPAs are like... You got like four flavors you can work
IPAs,
with.
IPAs, we do one thing and we do it well.
Woo! As we reported on the blog, brewing is perhaps expectedly, perhaps unexpectedly, becoming a trend
in the wake
of global recession.
I sent you a link.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And then I saw another article the next day about it in a different country.
Whoa. So, Australia. And this seemed to me, by the way, this seems like a terrible fucking idea. Because home brewing is not a way to save money,
I
people.
I know, got it.
Unless you want to make really shitty beer. If your idea of a good beer is like...
Even then. Like I looked at
grain from the feed store and roasting it in your own oven.
Oh, it's so true.
And then not hopping it because I don't know where you're going to get hops for cheap anymore. Oh. And then using like bread yeast. If that's how you're making your beer, it's going to be cheap as
there
shit.
There you go.
And you're going to get drunk and maybe go blind. But yeah. Then you're saving money right there. Now you're cooking with gas.
Yeah, if you're doing everything yourself, sure. But if you're homebrewing, you can expect to spend more per ounce of beer on every single batch until you've probably brewed a dozen batches with the equipment you buy in the first place.
Yeah.
And maybe even then, depending on your homebrew store's ingredient prices. All you want, if your only goal is to drink beer during a recession, you're better off buying kegs of Budweiser.
Or just cheap beer at the grocery store. Find the cheapest thing you can get there. You'll save money that way.
Natty Ice.
Yeah. Natty Ice.
Save money, buy cheaper beer. I looked into Mr. Beer, which is like the ultra low end.
This is how I got started brewing.
No shit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so my God.
Here's the story of how I started brewing, right? I decided that I wanted to brew beer. I think I was 20 at the time. One day, I was at a record store, of all places. And there was this box sitting there. Mr. Beer, brew your own beer. And I was like, oh, this sounds great. I had no idea what I was doing. Do you know what a Mr. Beer is? Do you know how the brew process works with a Mr. Beer? You buy a can. You open up that can with your can opener.
Yeah.
You pour it into a pot. You add an extra can's worth of water or so. Then you boil that shit for a while. Then you pour that into your Mr. Beer and add more water.
That's
it. You end up with a beer that tastes like shit. It's horrifying.
But even Mr. Beer is half the cost of Budweiser.
So,
buy cheaper beer. Let's see what else. Oh, the big news actually in Beerland this week was that there are 45 breweries, 45 craft breweries on Twitter.
Wow.
That was the big news in
Beerland. How many of them are local to us?
Not many.
And I think there was something else you mentioned on the website just recently.
What?
Today, in fact, even.
That Obama likes beer?
What the heck is a Barack Obama? I have no idea. But yeah, Obama likes beer.
He likes beer. So there were a number of stories going around a while ago that he doesn't like beer, that he...
Not only doesn't like beer, that he just doesn't drink at all.
Yeah, he doesn't drink at all, actually, yeah. They turned out to be false. He was...
Thank God.
Anyway, apparently he does drink. Not only does he drink, he wanted a specific craft brew, the Inaugural, to be served to him on Inauguration Day. Brewed by Peace Brewery and Pizzeria in Chicago, and he couldn't have it. The president of the United States couldn't have the beer he wanted.
Why not?
Apparently, they couldn't get it in bottles fast enough for the Secret Service or whatever, or whoever makes such decisions. But apparently, he's not allowed to drink out of kegs. They have it in kegs. It has to be in bottles.
That's bullshit.
Not only does the president like beer, he likes craft beer.
Damn.
It's going to be an awesome 4 years.
At least.
Obama says he's going to create 2 million jobs. I think a million of them will be in craft beer.
Fuck, 2 million. All of them.
All of them.
All
every
the jobs.
Single job is going to
every American beer. Should work in the beer industry.
Oh, God, what an amazing country.
I know. It'd be the greatest bunch of alcoholics since Australia.
I'm singing God Bless America to myself.
In your head.
So Boundary Bay Brewery in Bellingham, they have a Scotch Ale, mm-hmm. I think, that we really like.
Yeah.
On their premises is apparently...
Yes.
...a National Wildlife Federation Reserve.
What?
For birds. Birds and brews.
Wow. So they have a bird garden?
And now the National Wildlife Federation has recognized their garden an official wildlife habitat site. The
Topical.
Full Sail Brew, Full Sail Brewing, just released the Slipknot Imperial IPA. It's the first in their Brewmaster Reserve line. It's in IPA news. It's 80 IBU, 7.8% alcohol.
80 IBU?
Yeah, this is the kind of beers we're looking at.
7.8% alcohol?
These are the beers we're looking at for the next podcast.
Damn.
I don't think you understand.
Damn.
And that's it. That's it for beer news.
All right.
Well, I think this is...
Totally. I think we've run to the end of our podcast.
We have. It's about an hour recorded.
A little bit more.
All right. This is Geek Beer signing off.
Go to hell. No?
That's fine.
Oh God, it won't stop recording!